Welcome to the Joe Customs Podcast.
I did some Moneybags Destro, Scrooge McDestro, with a property like this. You understand why people like it and why it holds them, and you also start to understand physically how the things work and how you can rework them to make what you want to see. If Mr. Wolf believes that I didn't do his features justice, then I defer to his judgment.
Awesome.
What does he know?
Don't call it Hasbro. Don't come down on the hand that feeds you, for God's sake. If you want things to change for the better, do something good to make them change.
Well, there's a great site where you can post them. It's www.joecustoms.com. See, you can find fodder anywhere you look.
Oh my God, what an awesome cliffhanger.
JoeCustoms.com is the home of the world's premier G.I. Joe customizing website. Its purpose, to learn, improve, share, entertain, and showcase the work of the customizing community, wherever and whenever possible, to whomever shows interest. We'll help the community. Wherever there's customizing, Joe Customs is there.
Joe Customs!
Hi, P-Love here, John. I'm here with everybody. Dan's back from Philly Wizard Con.
Yep, sorry I missed last week's show, but I was covering the Philadelphia Wizard World show, which was a good experience, but I still would like to have been here for the show.
And Brad, TR101AL?
Glad to be back. I hate to have missed the last show. Change of work schedule has messed up my podcasting schedule.
And of course, Jeff, Joe Michael 70.
Good evening.
And our guest tonight is Matt Brandenburg, customizer extraordinaire, and has also done some work with some of the toy companies you may be familiar with. Matt, how's it going?
Good. Glad to be on the show. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's kick it off. One of the reasons we have you on the show is some of your custom work. And we just wanted to get into that right off the bat and just start talking about where we might have seen some of your work before.
Well, between October of 2009 and October of 2010, I worked on-site at Hasbro in Rhode Island as a hand painter in their upper prototyping department. And during that time, I believe a convention came through, and there was a tour inside of the Hasbro facility, and I was chosen to be the G.I. Joe representative for the paint room. And being a fan of G.I. Joe, being a super, super G.I. Joe nerd all the way back to the time that I was 6 years old, I knew what I would want to see as a fan. And so I went through, and I tried to gather up all of the arcane stuff, maybe a couple of things that weren't released or weren't scheduled for release, and things that, I was allowed to show, but you might not have seen unless somebody had the foresight to put it out there. So I gathered up a few things, and I realized I didn't really have anything physical as far as prototypes to show. So what I did was I brought from home a bunch of my own personal customs, and they've been seen by some of the designers at Hasbro, and they appreciated them. But I put those up in the cubicle that was shown in the on the tour, and I guess I thought I was pretty specific about the fact that they were mine, but I guess a few people were concerned that they might or might not make it to production. So, of course, they did not. But I guess I gained a little bit of fame there from showing that particular batch of customs off. Among them, there was a original style leather neck. There was an Iron Claw, being a huge fan of not only G.I. Joe, but the other lines that followed, whether they were successful or not. I was a big fan of Sergeant Savage, and I loved G.I. Joe Extreme. I know I might be the minority there, but I figured that I would pull out as many unique things as I could. One in particular that people ask me about from time to time is a Zartan phasing into Ripcord, but it was done using Rise of Cobra molds. So it is Arnold Vosloo phasing into On the Lands, rather than the classic comic crossover. So that's a little bit of it right there. If there's anything else that you all would like to know about, I'm happy to tell you.
So the customs that people saw, were they ever intended to be some kind of mock-up, or were they just your own personal customs?
Generally speaking, they were my own customs. I mean, I got along really well with the G.I. Joe team as far as the design team. I had good friends with a few of them there now that carries forward. And they were always willing to look at what I had in mind or what I had shown and draw ideas from that. Most of the reason that I did the custom figures that I did was I didn't feel like they were figures that were likely to get produced, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes tons of sense. Yeah, I mean, I think we all struggle with, you know, whether we want to do something that a toy company is just going to mass produce, you know, a couple of months from now.
Yeah, what you just said, John, that's why I don't do any customs of Star Wars characters that actually appeared in the movies, because I figure eventually Hasbro's going to around to do them. That's why I choose characters either from the novels or comics or strictly from my own imagination, because why bother putting the effort into something that Hasbro's just going to make for me?
That's a good point. I am, as a collector, I'm an army building nerd. So, I have to have everything just so. So, sometimes, if I know a figure's likely to get made, I will go ahead and make it just for my own edification because I can't stand waiting for it to come out.
This question about always comes up on the forum, and I'm just curious. What army builder is, like, the one that you have the most of, or the one that you like the most?
Well, like I said, my collecting goes all the way back to when I was 6 years old, back in 1982. And for me, you know, I was just a little bit too young to be into Star Wars yet. And G.I. Joe just hit the sweet spot with the commercials and the comics and the whole marketing blitz. And one day I asked my dad and mom to go out and find me a Destro figure, because Destro was the hot deal then. And Dad couldn't find one because he was so hot that he bought me home a Cobra Soldier. And when I came to understand the dynamic between soldiers and officers, and after getting frustrated having the one soldier come in from every angle trying to represent 1,000 different characters, I realized the power of army building right there. You could have 10 Cobra soldiers and they would be a match for your 13 heroes, more or less. So for me, it would be definitely the classic Cobra soldier officer combo.
Very cool. Now, I read one of the interviews from Con, somebody talked to you, and you'd mentioned a Destro from Pursuit of Cobra. Which version was that?
I did the Moneybag Destro. Squeak McDestro.
Oh, sweet.
Very nice.
Thank you. It was, you know, when I do something like that, I'm really working off of the designer's vision. You know, the deco sheets might be done by the designer or someone else that the designer designates. The challenge with that one was that he had a very, very fine digital camel pattern. And it was just, I mean, I consider myself a decent hand painter, but drawing squares that size was just not in my repertoire yet. So I had to go through and refine and refine and refine that camo. And of course, by the time it came back from China, it was in the production, it was pretty blotchy. So you didn't get to see all the details that went into that. But working from, I believe it was John Wharton's input and design there, I was really happy with that, how that figure came out. I was proud to be a part of it. Destro is my favorite classic villain, possibly in all of comics. And I was really, really thrilled to be able to work on one, especially one as cool as that.
Yeah, my one gripe is that there's just not enough of him out there to get multiples of, because that's just a fantastic figure.
I actually use quite a few of them. You guys haven't seen them yet because they're still works in progress, but I love that basic body from the neck down. The armor layered on top of the jumpsuit. I'm using that for a bunch of sci-fi mercenaries. And I've got maybe 5 or 6 of them across the different releases of that figure. Because you know it was used on both versions of the Iron Grenadier as well as the Destro. That is a fantastic body. I love that figure.
Now, you guys, if I can make a personal request real quick, if you all are doing customs, which I assume you are, I would be thrilled to get in touch with you, touch base, and trade tips if you want to look me up on Facebook. That's pretty much my arm to the world. I'm in Iowa nowhere right now, so I'm happy to talk and wrap with other customizers and trade pieces and all that sort of thing if you're up for it.
That sounds great. I'll look you up.
Jump all over that.
Yep.
Yeah. When did you realize that you were a customizer? That's something we typically ask just about every customizer that comes on the forums.
I had been, you know, unscrewing and screwing figures for years and years and coming up with new combinations. I around 95, when the Battle Corps figures were still, like, you could maybe find one in a drugstore somewhere, I went and I snatched up everything that I could find, because most of it was at clearance. And I started to take a real serious interest in the realistic military. Obviously, the Battle Corps figures are kind of famous for the garish paint jobs or the garish accessories. And I went through those, and I found, you know, just a simple set of testers, acrylic aircraft paint. And discovering acrylic paint was really what did it for me. I started to make them all, you know, paint them up in more proper military camo patterns and that sort of thing. I didn't realize I was really a customizer until I was cutting the top off of the head of a figure and putting a flint beret on there when the 25th figures were out. One of the things that put me off on them was I looked at them and there was no screw. How are you going to customize these? And then as I realized I had to rise to the occasion if I was going to keep up with it. I started learning how to cut them apart, put them back together without a horrible scar on them and that sort of thing. Before I knew it, I was making new figures out of old figures, and I thought, I can do this.
Not knowing you that well or at all, really, how did you get to Hasbro? How did you get from starting out in customs to working in the paint room at Hasbro?
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, but I knew somebody working at Hasbro, and I had been nice to this person. I had made friends with this person years before. And that niceness paid off in that when an opening came up for a hand painter, he kept me in mind, and he recommended me. So I went through the entire proper interview process, as one does. Really, it's something that you guys are looking to get into. The only advice I can give you is look at Hasbro's job listings.
Did you go to, you know, were you a fine art student, or was it just from a hobby level that you were able to get in, or you know what I'm saying, the skill set that you took to the job, how did you develop that?
Through my passion for the line. You know, I wouldn't have gotten into customizing at all if I wasn't desperate to see figured. When you work with something or you play with something for a good solid decade of your life, you start to really, really get a profound understanding for how it works and why it works. Both, you know, with a property like this, you understand why people like it and why it holds them, and you also start to understand physically how the things work and how you can rework them to make what you want to see. For example, the Battle Corps Viper from years ago, weird-looking figure, but kind of genius in its own right. If you guys remember the comics, when they did the coloring on them, a lot of times they came out the colors of the yellow and blue eels, almost. You know, being a fan and keeping up with it, you start to understand that that means that somewhere, either an inker got two models mixed up, or rather a colorist got two models mixed up, or their original source material says there was a Viper that was planned that's supposed to be yellow and blue, or whatever. Through time, I realized I could make that Viper, or I could take that weird Viper with the strange head and put him into maybe not camo colors. If everything's camo, then everything starts to look boring. That's the great thing about Cobras. They're all garish and blue and red and so forth. But if you take that same purple and red Viper and you make him black and red or black and gray and red, little accents and highlights, you keep that science fiction aesthetic and you make it look more functional. And I think that's what really drove my passion, was wanting to see toys that made sense to me. It's no secret that that era of G.I. Joe, when I think it's safe to say most of us were kind of just growing up to that point and seeing, okay, this thing that I loved is now looking more like a Captain Planet toy or a Ninja Turtles toy or something a little sillier. And that was one of the reasons that I think it kind of drifted off when it did. I think they lost sight of the hearts and minds aspect of it rather than the, okay, let's sell this to kids right now.
What was something that you saw from the professional aspect of, you know, customizing on a professional level versus when you were customizing on a personal level? What was something that you learned in the trade that now you do on your personal stuff?
Well, you know, everybody sort of discovers things like washes and paint whites and that sort of thing on their own. I learned how to use lacquer, which was really more for Transformers. Or say a Marvel figure like Iron Man who needs a special coat. But I did learn to use lacquer. I learned to airbrush more properly. I had a little bit of experience with airbrushing, but not on the level of fineness that you're talking about with 3¾-inch figure. I mean, I'm talking, I knew how to put battle damage on a Hiss tank or a Vamp. I did not know how to put the light in an arc light on an Iron Man until I was at Hasbro.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I could see that could be difficult. Yeah.
It can. It's also useful on things like a Transformer, like, say, a Fortress Maximus, who's got stickers for eyes. You go over him, and then you actually paint in his eyes, and then you can paint those little tiny lights that in the Beast Wars era sort of simulated pupils. So there's always ways to use it in another space. You can use it as a headlight to show that it's illuminated or not illuminated. Luck, while I was with Hasbro, of working with a whole lot of tools that I didn't have access to in my home. You know, I mean, most of us buy a Dremel when we realize that we have to cut some fine plastic, but there were entire facilities there that I was able to use. And, you know, I took it for granted while I was there, and then I walked out and I had a great idea for a figure, and I thought, I can't make this now. I don't have what I need.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, for example, some of the finer tools, you know, taking one of the things I did for myself that proved difficult, I had to take several attempts at it, is retrofitting older, you know, peg or ball joint heads to fit on the new ball joint for the 20-foot style figures. You, of course, have to cut away the neck to an acceptable level, and then you have to leave enough jaw that it looks like the person's face is still attached, and then you have to find a way to create a hole that a ball joint will snugly fit on so you can move this figure's head around. I can do that to a point with an X-Acto knife if I sit there and dig at it for hours at a time. But it's so much easier to have that particular size drill bit set up on the counter and be able to walk away from my desk, pick it up, zap it, and walk back.
On the paint aspect, were you involved with any, like, variations, you know, patterns that you really liked but just didn't end up getting used for one reason or another?
A lot of figures that get designed and get mocked up that don't ever get made. It's sad. And this is the thing that is tricky for me to talk about because I am a fan and I am somebody who's been inside Hasbro. I don't think I have any knowledge that would hurt them in any way at this point. I did, generally speaking, these things end up getting leaked anyway. You see them on eBay or wherever. The Nanobat, for example, I didn't work on the Nanobat, but I was sitting next to the guy who worked on the Nanobat as he was putting it together, painting it, and I was really excited about this figure. I thought, gee, I'm going to run out to Walmart and buy, or whatever, paint it, whatever, end up at, and buy 6 dozen of these, and then they never happened. And of course, now they're a club exclusive, and more power to the club for getting those out there. But anything I could talk about?
Oh, it doesn't have to be specific. I mean, did the occasion ever come up where you're like, oh, come on, please, John, use this one. And for whatever reason, they just went in a different direction.
Well, my input wasn't such that I would go to him with other ideas like that most of the time. With him, I was certainly free to. The problem for me was, since I was there as a temp, I wasn't just working on G.I. Joe. They sort of adopted me for G.I. Joe. Finally, which was great, but I started out doing little bits of, you know, play school toys, Tone Puppies, that sort of thing. I did the original, mock-up for Mickey Rourke for Iron Man 2 for Whiplash. And in fact, I would love to get a hold of that figure. If you look at the back of the package, you can see there's a very strong difference in that picture of the figure versus the figure that you get. To give you some very specific idea about what the figures I did were used for, with G.I. Joe, they would give us, and Star Wars, they would give us 2 figures in pieces, and we would paint them up properly. Generally, someone else would assemble them. I was kind of savvy enough to assemble my own figures. And then one would be used for photographs, if I understand correctly, someone might come along and correct me later. One would be used for photographs for packaging and that sort of thing. The other would be sent to China as the master copy. And with this Mickey Rourke figure, I remember it was my first assignment. I was young and eager to prove myself. And I looked at him, and I looked at his photographs and the photo reference, and I thought, this is a beat-up looking man. This guy's a boxer. He's gone through all this stuff. He just looks like somebody who's lived. So when I painted him with thinner eyes and more sympathetic-looking eyebrows, like the man looks. And apparently he didn't like that and told Hasbro and Marvel that they had to change him up a little bit. So the figure that you get is a little more tan, a little more bright-eyed, and a little more wild-eyed. But if you look at the back of the package, you can see the figure that I painted. It's really different. Whether you like it or not is up to you. I think it looks great.
So that wasn't necessarily a directive from the company. That was from the actor himself.
That's what I understand. I could be wrong. What I think happens is that when a likeness of an actor is produced, they show it to the actor for their approval before they go into production, which makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And if Mr. Rourke believes that I didn't do the features justice, then I defer to his judgment.
Awesome.
What does he know?
Well, he's a big dog lover, so I relate to that.
All right, Matt, I got a question for you. Being a customizer and also being on the production side, how much can you tell us or can you tell us? Does Hasbro go to the customizing community, like the websites and stuff you draw inspiration from, ideas from? Is that a practice that they do or direction?
Well, I can break this down for you guys pretty succinctly. It's something I kind of wanted to address ever since I left Hasbro. Being a fan, I was all over the forums back in, from 2000 to 2008. But I paid attention, and G.I. Joe fans get really, really passionate. Some G.I. Joe fans are intense and almost, they just seem angry sometimes. And I wanted to kind of allay their fears in that the guys inside Hasbro working on G.I. Joe, they know. They know what we want. They want it too. They're fans. That's something that a lot of people don't realize. They're just the same kind of fans that we are. They love the original 13, and they like both Snake Eyes as a commando and as ninja. But more than that, they remember Battlecore Leatherneck. They remember the, the 1997 version of Stormshadow that came in the 3-pack. They know that Chameleon is a different character than the Baroness. While we're all biting our nails thinking, do these guys even know what they have? Yeah, they do. They really do. And they love the characters. And if they have their way, I believe that they do. Every figure would be like that low leg figure. Now, every single one would be a proper update that kept exactly the aesthetic of the original that brought it into the modern day. And, accessories that just blow you away. The problem comes with, what can they sell? And this does not have anything to do with, it has very little to do with the design team. The design team obviously comes up with the best stuff they can. And that's what makes you weep when you look at, like at the convention this past couple months when we saw the Destro with the perfect, perfect face mask or that leather neck or that Lady J with a cap or any of those guys. It just looks so amazing. They're always trying to make those things happen. They're always trying to make them better. And they do look at the forums. I mean, they're fans too. They're out there. I can't give you a screen name or say what forums. But, it's always good for inspiration. I don't think that if you come up with something, they're going to turn around and make that very thing. Because I don't know whether it's a legal issue or what, but I know that as an artist, if I look at somebody's custom online and I get, say, I'm looking at a Crazy Lakes custom and it uses the torso from the Snake Eyes from 1989. And I think, that's a perfectly inspired painting. You just use the shoulders from Let's Dig It, and there you go. But I'm not going to use exactly the recipe he uses. I'm not maybe going to use the same colors or the same weapons. The kernel is there, and the more of a particular figure they see, I'm sure the more they realize that figure is somebody that we want. Like, if you see four or five people do a Lightfoot custom, and six or seven people do a repeater custom, and then 30 people do a muskrat custom. That's a built-in poll right there. You have an idea of which figure they want to see. And that, I would imagine, just by human nature, I can't speak to what's in anybody's mind but my own, but I would imagine that definitely compels someone to lean toward muskrat rather than Lightfoot.
That's awesome. I'd never really thought about it that way before.
Nothing disappoints somebody who works on the toys more than having somebody put something put together that they know the fans will love and then being told that's not the direction that we're going to go this year and then never knowing if they're going to see it again. And I don't think I'm revealing any huge secrets because we all know that there are what might have been figures at every con. Sometimes, like with Quinn, we get one. what I think helps way more than forcing anger about a figure not being made or a figure not being made the right way is constructive criticism. If you guys on the boards want to be heard, be nice. Be pleasant. Make your argument known in a logical and reasoned fashion. Don't scream. Don't call it Hasbro. Don't come down on the hand that feeds you, for God's sake. If you want things to change for the better, do something good to make them change. Even if that's just saying, I would really like to see a Night Force Crazy Legs at retail or something like that.
That's a great point. That might go on the front of this podcast.
Well, you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar.
Holy crap, was that God?
Now, you've mentioned parts from, you know, the O-ring style and modern era, and you've used them interchangeable almost. When you customize for your personal stuff, do you do both style customs, or do you have a preference now?
Well, I had collected straight through till about 2002, about 2004. Like, I had never stopped. When I turned 13 and all my friends were 13 and everybody wanted to give up the toys, I was the one who went from house to house saying, how much you want for your old G.I. Joes and Transformers, you know? And so I amassed a really, really huge collection over the years. One of the things that helped was I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years. And while I was there, I didn't really have any bills per se. So I was able to, in my off hours, go around to the various neighborhoods in North Carolina and look at the art sales and things like that. And the other Marine Corps wasn't seeing the van 1,000 G.I. Joes in my room, but I was really able to keep those together. In 2004, I had a personal tragedy which necessitated selling all of my toys. I have a handful of old figures from when I was a kid, but for the most part, everything went. The space shuttle, launch complex, two flags, a pterodrome, a mobile command center, all those wonderful things which you never want to say goodbye to. Sometimes you just have to let it go, because if your collection gets too big, it can start to own you.
I'm sorry. Let's have a moment of silence for the Defiant and the flags.
Well, I still have a huge collection now. The problem being all my O-ring stuff, except for about a printer paper-sized box, is gone. If I find something, like, for example, I made a Frostbite figure, and I just couldn't figure out how to work up the hat. I didn't have any kind of sculpting buddy or anything. So I went and I found a Big Ben figure, and I sawed the hat off of him, and I sawed the top of a Pledge's head off, and I thickened his beard and glued a pair of goggles to the front of the hat, and there was my Frostbite head. I'm not ashamed, you know, I'm not afraid to use the O-ring stuff. I do love it, and, you know, if it wasn't a matter of having to rebuild so much, I would go back to it also, but as it stands, I'm pretty happy with my ability to customize and create whatever characters I need out of the parts magazine that we have with the 25th style figures so far. Right. I do wish that I was able to get to more conventions, though. I missed out on the convention sets, and I've missed out on the exclusive figures, except I did manage to get myself a Footloose. So, and Jinx and Zorana. Zorana, in fact, the straight original style Zorana, the pink and blue one, is the last G.I. Joe figure I think I did while I was at Hasbro.
You painted the San Diego Comic-Con version, the pink, the homage version of the San Diego Comic-Con version.
Exactly.
Very nice. That's a good
figure.
But wouldn't that be homage, not homage?
Oh, don't make me come through the computer screen. Don't come in. But that's a good figure to go out on.
I think so too. I was always pushing for getting at least all of the characters up through 1987 when the animated series ended out in their original versions. I'm sad to say that Law and Order didn't make it, and a few others that I was really pushing for. But, you know, there's no saying that they won't be at some point. Those guys are always looking for ways to make those things happen. Yeah, I felt that at least up through 87 was where it had to go, and I was really happy One thing I will say is when the people on the forums were asked what figures do you really want, I was right there with you guys with Lifeline and Sci-Fi and Lowlight and Airtight, and we got them out, you know. For me as a collector at this point, I can also say, you know, since moving to Iowa, I don't have the access to toys that I used to. I used to be able to go to any of 7 Walmarts and 5 Targets in a day and nail down what I was looking for. Now I have 1 Walmart that carries Joes within a 150-mile radius of me. And if I'm lucky, they've got what I'm looking for. So.
Oh, Walmart, yeah. How you hate us.
No, I'm thrilled that people are still doing it. I'm thrilled that, I'm glad that you guys are keeping it alive.
What are you doing?
For me, however. Sorry.
Yes. So what are you doing in Iowa, if you don't mind me asking?
It was the last place I had to go when, I left Rhode Island.
Now, you mentioned the Marines and having military experience and even taking the battle corps stuff and trying to give it more realistic paint jobs. Were you ever given an assignment or asked to do something and you're like, come on, this isn't, there's no way this would be real. Why are we doing it this way?
No, the great thing about working with John Borden and Logan Rivera and Dave Proctor and Tara Garana and those guys, Andrew Franks, they all understand what makes sense and what doesn't. If they make a garish figure, it's a Battle Corps homage. Like, is it Ginzu or?
Yeah.
The Storm Shadow repaint, like, that makes no sense, but it makes perfect sense. And these guys get that. I tried to amp up a few figures. I don't remember the name of the little hiss pod, the little blue thing that had the hiss tank wheels and, or treads rather, and then a gun on the back. But there was a hiss driver that came with that. And he was, I believe, blue with a silver symbol and black highlights on him. And I tried at one point to push a Rippet figure instead. And I think it was just a matter of cost. You know, they were very receptive to the look of the figure, but at the same time, it was obviously something that had been figured out before I had come along.
Yeah. Some of those driver figures were lacking in every way possible. So I understand the frustration there.
Well, the victories are, you might get, you know, you might have to go to Walmart and buy 1,000 Neo Vipers if you want to keep up on your collection. But at the same time, sooner or later you're going to get that Lowlight or that Sci-Fi or that figure that just really, really looks exactly like the one you remember and the one you want. And that's what I look for now is, and it's good on my wallet to have just had Easter eggs to pick up here and there rather than buying 10 of every figure that comes out every year.
When you saw the Retaliation line, were there any figures that you were, you know, speaking of figures that you might have picked up, were there any figures you're like, oh, as soon as you saw it, you're like, I gotta have that?
Well, the nerd in me wanted immediately all the characters that were new to the movie franchise that had a movie like this. I wanted Roadblock, but I wanted the one with the veiny arms. I wanted Jeff Holton and so forth. I was really, really impressed. I'm not a fan of the shape of the helmet, but I'm impressed with the new Cobra Trooper with the parachute. Is that what he's referred to as the Trooper?
Yeah, I think it might be Cobra Paratrooper or whatever, but yeah, they also released that as a convention parachute figure, so yeah, that's a fun figure.
Well, I'm not talking about the one that comes in the 3-pack. I'm talking about the individual soldier trooper guy with the red goggles and the black part over his mouth and so forth and the individual helmet. Kind of shaped like more like a World War II bucket rather than a Fritz-style helmet. He has the long gloves and the shape of the body, the proportions on him are just so nice. But the Red Ninja, the new ninja figures based on the Storm Shadow mold, all of those are fantastic. I'm a sucker for, if you get a great mold like that, repaint it and repaint it and repaint it as long as it makes sense. I'm hoping someday we'll get the toothpaste colored ninja vipers out of them. I'm not holding my breath though.
Yeah, that Storm Shadow figure, they can't release it enough. I know I was telling people, if somebody told me I'd be going to Dollar General looking for Storm Shadow repaints a year ago, I would have kicked them in the nuts. It's just a fantastic figure, any which way they color it.
And I agree. You know, I didn't find the white one yet in any version, but I guess that's what the online retailers are for. I'm going to have to start buckling down on buying cases because the assortments are looking better and better.
Yeah, that Wave 3.5 with all the figures that they've shown at Toy Fair and the convention, that's the one where I'm like, no way I'm going to be able to track all those down. There's no way. I'll just go with the case.
That's kind of how I feel. I was kind of the way I looked at it and thought, maybe I should get back to it. Maybe I should start working harder.
Matt, if I could ask you a question, the customs that you've done in the past and the things that you displayed on the Hasbro tour, are those available online for people to see?
I can probably put up some pictures of them. I obviously got really, really attached to those, not just because, you know, people saw them, but because that was me at home using my stuff to do what I had learned to do at Hasbro. Technically, I think the ideas that I came up with at that point belong to Hasbro, and, you know, good on them. I hope they look at it and they say, hey, that's ours, we'll make that. But as far as the figures themselves, they are in fact mine. And, you know, I'm happy to show them off. I'll see what I can do. I'll go and pick up some camera and see what I can put together for you guys. It never occurred to me that everybody wants to see them.
Not just those, but, like, any of your personal work. Do you have a site or anything going on that shows off some of the fantastic cuffs you were able to put together?
Well, I live kind of like a kangaroo rat running from hole to hole, so it's hard for me to stop somewhere and put together a studio and have a website and that sort of thing. It's definitely something I'll look into. If anybody's wanting to help me, I'd be thrilled with that. I haven't done a lot of customs in the interim years. I've done maybe 10 or 15, mostly just because I've run out of paint and I've moved around so much. But now that I'm in a place that I believe I'll be staying for a while, I can probably do something like that if there's an interest in it, absolutely.
Well, there's a great site where you can post them. It's www.joecustoms.com.
I've heard of that place.
I am literally grinding my teeth.
I've
been so out of the world for the past 2 years, you don't even know. It's certainly not a slight against you all. I'm thrilled that everybody's keeping the hope alive and that you guys are out there doing it. And I'm honored that you seek me out and talk to me.
It's not just us. Based on the level of the skill that behind those customs, yeah, the Joe fans want to see it. Need to figure out. We'll talk after we record and come up with some options for you. Not just Joe Customs. I'd love it if you did, but yeah, you have to get them out there.
Well, that means a lot to hear that. Thank you.
You kind of lived what all of us, you know, have like this little, like, you know, light in our head thinking maybe someday if I try just a little bit harder. Anyway, no, so that's fantastic, and that's really cool that you'd be open to something like that. I want to just talk about one more thing. So, I've heard Iowa a couple times. Are you familiar with the codename Iowa Convention?
I have codename Iowa Convention on my Facebook page, and from what I understand, it generally takes place out toward Des Moines?
That's correct.
I'm on the exact opposite side of the state. I am in northwest Iowa. It's been tricky for me to travel for the past few years. I've had an ongoing string of bad luck with automobiles, however. I am very anxious to get back into the community, and I'd be thrilled to be involved with anything like that.
You know what? I bet, and we don't even have to put this into the podcast, P-Love, but I would bet that there's going to be people passing his way on the way to Des Moines for that, and maybe going the other way for CoilCon.
Well, I guess you're running out of excuses to not get back into the world, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Just don't drink anything that they offer you.
I'm just happy to be part of, you know, the G.I. Joe community. We kibitz a lot when we see something we don't like, but just take care of their own.
Yeah. Do you guys have any other questions before we move on to the segments?
I just have a quick one, and then I'm going to step out for a second.
You got that rimshot sound effect, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
And Matt, it was great talking to you. Hope you can stick around. Otherwise, we'll see you online.
I will be online, guys. I got to take off for the night, but thanks for having me on. I'll definitely be listening to the show.
Well, thank you so much for being on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Matt, thanks for taking
me. Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. And we, hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we, okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. All right, so what cool customs have you guys seen?
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10!
Woo!
I think probably the coolest thing I've seen, it was actually, I think it was posted today, the G.I. Joe Train by Oreo Builder.
Yeah.
That thing is fantastic.
Before we get into that specific one, he's been just going nuts this whole month. It seems like everyone has been increasingly better. Plus, he's sending in his small play sets submissions. And to top it off with the Train today, I literally have my note, Oreo Builder, nuts. <That's>
All the stuff he's put out this week has been fantastic. The mobile radar station with Breaker, that thing was fantastic. It looks just like an old 1982-83 accessory.
I think that if you go to any garage sale and find an old mobile missile system, that you need to make one of those mobile radar dishes.
I completely agree.
That's such a little tiny perfect thing out of something that you're going to find beat up and broken and everything else. I think every Joe Customs member needs one of those, and they need to make their own, and we should have a contest around it, because it should almost be our vehicle mascot. It's one of those pieces that you find, everybody's got broken those things, and we should all make one.
I agree.
Yeah, that's from Hawk's Mobile Missile System. I made one with the Kwanzaa Hut as a radar attachment, and I pulled one out of Nova's free bin from SlayerCon. So, first of all, that tells you how long ago it was. But also, yeah, I'm sure Kokomo Toys is sitting on, you know, 20 of them, right? And his flag crew with the bomb toe and stuff.
Yeah, everything is just great. He's on a roll.
But then the Train. I'll let you talk about the Train since you brought it up.
Yeah, the Train is just beautiful. And I don't, like, the engine, or whatever you want to call it, the first part of the Train, looks almost identical to the one that's on the old Tyco box. It's very, very cool.
Using a Playmobil Train, it's close enough. It's not quite, but I think it's as good as the Fisher-Price one that Hasbro had originally mocked up on.
Yep, definitely. And even the custom crew, too, the engineer and the mechanic or whatever, it was beautiful, beautiful figures.
Brad, what about you?
I like seeing IW Beta's Deadshot and Deathstroke. I hadn't seen him do many superhero customs before, but he really did a good job of those two.
Yeah, I can never have enough IW Beta. Bad sociologist. He just does awesome work.
Oh, yeah, fantastic stuff.
The other one I had was Zephyr 1999. He's been showing off some of his G.I. Joe HQ, and today just the work in progress of the Joe HQ that's going to be two stories high and stuff. That looks like it's going to be awesome.
Definitely agree on that one.
I saw that Past Mastification put his Baroness in the gallery. His original run Marvel homage. I think we've talked about that in the past, but man, I just love that custom.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's what Baroness would look like if Hasbro would have bought Kenner back in, you know, 1980 instead of when they bought it. But I'd also say that Iron Will's Brock Samson, excellent custom.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That was a good one. Just a really good parts recipe. He said it was an original, and I'm going to take his word for it. But, man, I was like, I got to go back and do one like that now.
Yeah, that was definitely a beautiful one.
The other one I'd throw out there right now, and it's kind of, you guys familiar with Pack Rat Studios or out on Facebook? You know who I'm talking about, Pack Rat?
Only because you linked it to me.
All right. Anyway, I think the dude's from St. Paul, which is why I've got an interest in him. And I keep getting him and Ratfink mixed up just because they both use the word rat. But Pack Rat's been doing this Marvel Legends series of Marvel Knights. And he did a Black Panther that I thought was pretty cool. And then Killcar comes along and he does his Black Panther, like modern version of Black Panther. And the two kind of blend in my mind. And I think Killcar's onto something with that Black Panther. And I think that's the next custom I'm going to make is something along that line. Using parts of Billy and using parts of Pack Rat.
Yeah, Ed, I think Killcar finally started really customizing because Jeff and I just kept giving him so much crap about not being a customizer. You know, playfully, but yeah, he's starting to submit more customs to the gallery because of that.
Also, the updates to the Quinjet that came around this week. Fantastic work.
Oh my goodness. He showed off his dashboard. Who made that again?
Outback.
We'll try again.
Outback. Not just the chairs. The chairs already look cool, but then he showed, you know, the dashboard controls and stuff that he's made. And it was, and the yokes. And it's like, oh, wow. That just, the amount of cuts and circles and all that stuff and have it functionality and steering wheels. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Great work.
Yeah, very, very cool work.
It really does have that, it has that time period piece of it. Time period sense to it that he's going for. I mean, he wanted it to be for a specific time period, and he's really capturing.
Oh, and he showed the jet exhaust that he was using, and it came from a fruit cup. I'm like, I know that fruit cup. I'm not throwing away fruit packaging anymore.
I think I have like three of those things in my parts box out in my garage.
From now on, anytime I eat something and go to throw it away or put it in recycling, let me take another look and flip it around and see what else it can be from now on.
If you guys want a cool tip, I don't know if how many of you guys keep in your car those little the cup containers for gum. You like Orbitz, they have the little container that fits right in your cup holder and it's a flip-top lid.
I have one of those in my car right now.
The flip-top lids? Make yes. Awesome exit and entry areas for underground bases or anything like that. I have probably about two dozen of them in one of my parts boxes out in the garage. And I actually had so many that I was chucking them away because I had, you know, every time I empty the container, I buy a new one. So they are fantastic pieces and they don't take paint very well. You got to prime them first, but they look fantastic while painted up.
You must have a strong jaw.
Hold on, I'm writing this down. Orbitz flip-top lid container. That's fantastic.
Yeah, if for any reason you can't find one yourself, I'll send you one. So you can see what they look like.
Oh, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah.
But that's like a found item. Just, you know, I also, working in the medical field, I think we touched on this once before, I get all sorts of little cool plastic caps and like valve covers and all sorts of things from the chemo materials. They make great little mechanical parts, and they're completely sterile. They never touch the patient. They're just the stuff that you pop off the cap and throw in the garbage before you start hooking everything up. So I brought home tons of those things over the year. I have like 4 2-gallon-sized Ziploc bags full of them, all shapes and sizes.
And they're not considered biohazard medical waste?
No, because they actually come off before any of the chemochemicals go in or any of the drugs are put in. Nothing. They're like the caps on the needles. They literally go right in a regular garbage.
Yeah, I haven't figured out a use yet, but we got these tomato plant stands, but you assemble them yourself, and they're made out of plastic. But all the arms that connect the stand together for the tomato plant vines to grow onto were all connected with, like, these little plastic end tips that look like blaster caps, you know, the ends of barreled lasers or whatever.
Oh,
so,
very cool.
Yeah, so I pocketed, like, 8 of them. I just haven't figured out a project for them yet.
See, you can find fodder anywhere you look.
That's a good nugget, too. That might go out in front.
Hey, guys, you know, a few shows back, we were talking about the Instamold, the meltdown molding compound. I tried it out using the Mod Podge as the material being molded, because when I do the Mod Podge, I water it down a little bit, and over a couple of days, it'll dry out pretty good, and form whatever cup or whatever I'm using it in. So I went ahead and tried it to make some ice shoulder armor, and it took a couple of days to dry out, and it actually turned out pretty good. So just a tip for you if you want to try the Instamold and go for a cheap type resin to use to cast with it. That might be a way to go for something kind of clear.
Very interesting.
You got any pictures?
I'll take some and hopefully get some up by tomorrow. Hey, John, since we're talking about customs, you want to touch base on the mascot contest a little bit?
We did mention it on the previous podcast about the Joe Customs official mascot custom contest due September 1st now. We've got a ton of prizes. Gary Goggles, Gyre Viper, he donated a San Diego Comic-Con set from this year, so it's going to have the Jetfire and Hound and Baroness and all that stuff. He's donated that. We've got a Big Bad Toy Store Eagle Hawk that's going to be a part of it. A bunch of people during the convention this year donated some carded figures and some loose figures, including the Wave 2 repaints from Dollar General, TJ Maxx. They're all in there. One of the Dollar Firefly figures, that was that Dollar Tree, the new Sculptor enlarged to like 6 inches. Not hard to get, but some people might not have those stores. D&J Toys, that he donated one of his Cobra Base reproductions, the Missile Command Center. Let's see. I know I'm blanking on something else, but basically everything that's been donated for these prizes, and it's the prize package. It's an all or nothing. You know, the winner is going to get everything. Second place is the first loser. And we've got Gary's going to come back as a judge, zombie guide. Oh yes, and Joe Armory's donating a $25 gift certificate. That was the other big prize. I'm going to be a judge. Who else? Well, yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I should have looked this up. Show prep. A bunch of other judges are going to review it, and it's not necessarily going to be the best custom, although that's going to be obviously going to play a big part of it. We're looking for the most, the best character that would represent, you know, the best visual design that represents the mascot for the site, and that's going to go up. We're just looking, trying to get away from Big Brawler and Major Blood and Shipwreck. Not that there's anything wrong. I'm sure we'll still see those guys. Traveling Shipwreck's a staple of the site, but just trying to come up with something, you know, we can put on a t-shirt without worrying about Hasbro and copyright issues and all that stuff. Are there any, do you guys have any questions about that? We should probably, you know, I'm sure if you guys have questions, other people have questions.
It's pretty straightforward.
Oh, good. I hope so. What are we actually working on right now? The customizing workbench. Workbench.
I've got so much stuff sitting on my table. As you guys know, I'm working on my Orc Army. I actually got up a group of customs yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw them. The Imperial Hangar crew.
Oh yeah, yeah, those were nice.
I finally knocked those out.
Great accessories. I love. Thank you. I always love what you're able to do with the doodads and stuff. But like the landing lights that you were using, and I guess it's like a radar gun that you gave the one guy connected to the Destro backpack.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a signaling device. Back during the old days of military aviation, they would actually use lights to signal, you know, the incoming aircraft to come in and land. But I figure being the Star Wars universe, of course, is a little more advanced. It's sending, like, tight laser packet of data, like a line of sight communications that can't be hacked.
Yeah.
Things like that. So that's how I gave the signal, man. I gave him two different ones, a little red one and a larger blue one. Because the backpack had two hoses, and I'm like, I'm not going to cut one of them off. Let me find something to put in his other hands.
Fantastic, clean work, Dan, as Thank always. You.
I like making those little things. That are, I'm sorry?
What helmets did you use on those? Was it the Navy pilot helmets?
Yes, it was, actually. I have a whole bunch of those helmets laying around, and I really don't do anything concerning Naboo with my customizing. So I'm like, you know what? They kind of look almost like the helmets you'd see on a deck crew of a like aircraft carrier or a hangar.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know what? Let's put them right on there.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, what a great use for that, you know? And then I was like, who has that many Naboo pilots?
Someday, I got to post pictures of all my parts that I have laying around. You guys are probably faint if you saw it. Yeah, I like building these little, like, almost behind-the-scenes characters, because Hasbro would never release a hangar crew unless they featured prominently in an action scene in one of the films. Even, like, you know, there were hangar technicians seen in Episode 1, you know, readying the Naboo fighters for takeoff. We never got figures of those guys. But I wanted to do something that would actually be, like, what you would see in an Imperial base or on a Star Destroyer or whatnot, and tried to come up with as close to what I think they would have looked like in the films as possible. And that's what I did with that. Is that basic Imperial jumpsuit works for a lot of different roles.
So what are you working on now?
I've got my Orc army that I mentioned last time. I finally finalized all their different armor designs because I'm working on 24 of them.
Oh,
and they're going to start getting painted soon.
I forgot it was 24.
Yeah, because I picked up all those really cheap Kmart sets. So I've got them all finalized. I have a couple of new goblins, too, that you guys are going to be surprised because I actually went different heads on two of them. Instead of them all being the basic Grinna figure, I found two size-appropriate heads, one from the original Lord of the Rings line, and one from, I want to say it was from the Hercules Legendary Journeys line. Took a lot of modifications to get them to fit the body because the Grinna figure, his head is basically mounted right above his chest with like these hunched shoulders. So he doesn't really have much of a neck. It's basically just sitting on the front of the hunched shoulders. Whereas these figures had upright heads. So they had to be modified to be sitting forward and still look natural. And you guys are going to get a kick out of this. One of them is in plate armor. So it's different than all the other ones, just wearing the different bandoliers and whatnot.
Can't wait to see them.
Yeah, that sounds like such an awesome project.
I've also got some rides for them, too. I got two gigantic mounts that the two of them are going to be riding. And I think you guys will be surprised. It's a very common item, but I don't want to say anything. I don't want to surprise you guys when you see it. But I think you'll like the paint job I did to them.
All right, Brad, what about you?
I finally got a Daniel Craig head for my James Bond custom, so now he's corrected, and finally finished the cross-country figure I started about 3 years ago. But I hated paint white, and I've always hated paint white, so I finally broke down, got some Krylon, and went to town with that way. And it actually turned out pretty good. I'm not very skilled with spray paint, but he turned out pretty sharp. And the one I was talking about with the Instamold, I'm trying to bring the Mortal Kombat ninjas into the Joe universe, so they're going to be a member of the Bike Dragon Ninja group, and I've got Sub-Zero done right now, and I'll hopefully get those posted tomorrow.
Very cool. Brad, if you want a little advice on painting white, you don't have to paint it white. I've found over the years that there's a color, it's an acrylic color, it's called Dolphin Gray. It's such a light gray that it actually looks white, and at our scale that we work on, it doesn't look as stark as when you paint something white, and it's like, it's white. You know, this is actually very, very subtle, and it's white. It looks white. Everything you've seen that I've done with what looks like white parts, that's actually Dolphin Gray. And it covers a lot better than white does.
You know,
nice tip.
Thank you.
Something I do is like when I'm getting down to the bottom of a jar, you know, a little paint jar of white is, you know, I'll mix some other color in there. Like light gray is always one of those colors you always need your different shades of gray. So I'll make a little lighter, you know, the lightest gray I can possibly make, or the last one I did a light purple for shading and stuff, and it's just a really good thing when you know you got to go out and buy another jar anyway. Just, you know, turn it around and make, you know, a small thing of another color that you'll get some use out of later.
So you're saying you enjoy 50 Shades of Gray?
You know, most times I have a witty comeback, and none of them are appropriate. So, I'm
just... See, you guys missed me last time.
I think you'd be welcome at Vaseline Con. Yeah, okay. Jeff, what about you?
What's the topic again?
What are you working on?
Well, I just wrapped my Joe-Con blind pull fig. So I was pretty happy with that. I've got a version 2 Black Widow that I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to use the stock Nicole Kidman head or whether I'm going to try to paint a cast Nicole Kidman head just for keeping the paint, the flesh tones consistent. I can't decide whether it'd be easier to paint the skin on the figure orange to match the factory head or whether it'd be easier to try to paint the eyes on the cast to keep the skin tone that I have in the body consistent. What would you guys recommend?
Paint the eyes.
Yeah, paint the eyes.
I can't paint eyes.
You know, if you can't, then you can change it. But matching the factory skin tone, it you can come really close and the color can be dead on. But if it doesn't have that sort of see-through-y plastic look to it, it just never looks right. In my opinion.
I think what we need to do as a website is just get somebody to volunteer to paint eyes. I don't know if it's going to be Bindi or if it's going to be, what's her name?
MacGyver.
One of these two people needs to open up an eye painting service that we can all just send eyes to, tell them what color, and get the head back. Yeah, oh, holy crap, somebody's going to make $1 million.
They're also going to have carpal tunnel and be blind in 5 years.
But rich.
But rich.
So I've also got one of those Ben 10 cars that everyone knows about that I'm doing like everybody else is doing and turning it into a shield flying car. Oh, you guys aren't doing that? And I'm using my secret connection to have, actually I've already got them. They're custom cut vinyl graphics of the Shield logo to go on the car. So they're going to be perfect, perfect logos.
Very nice.
Look at me, I'm Jeff, and I have custom decals made.
That didn't sound like me at all.
No, not at all. It didn't capture your sexy.
No, I didn't capture my sexy. I'm going back to do some ridiculously awesome vehicles that I just didn't have time for in the middle of winter because, you know, it takes paint and stuff like that to do those kinds of things. I don't know. I've got a ton of figures I'm working on. One of the next ones you'll probably see from me is a 70s era Simon Williams Wonder Man. But I don't know. In the summertime, I kind of table it. I think my next big push is getting some more done on Castle Destro. As soon as I put those vinyl graphics down on the landing pads, it like reignited the spark in me to get at least the exterior done ASAP so I can start working on the levels inside.
Nice.
Yeah, that looked beautiful. The decals look great on the landing pads.
Yeah, they definitely
not pop. Not decals. Custom cut vinyl graphics.
I'm sorry. Custom cut vinyl graphics look excellent on the landing pads.
You guys got to think about this. It's fantastic. You get a vector-based graphic, you wind up with, I mean, they're just crystal clear. If there's any downside, it's the fact that because it's a vinyl sticker, there's a little bit of, well, P-Love, what are you working on?
Hold on. You faded out there talking about your decal.
Yeah, we lost
it. Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, at what part? Because I said some really awesome right at the end.
The last thing you said was, because they're custom cut vinyl, and then you cut out. You said there'll be a little bit of, and then we lost it.
Oh, my God. What an awesome cliffhanger.
All right.
No, I said there'd be a little bit of a lip because it's a sticker that goes on top. But as far as having like a super crisp logo, man, I haven't found anything that's better than this.
How thick are the vinyl graphics? You said there was a little bit of lip, but...
Less than a millimeter thick.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you run your finger over it, you'd feel the edge, but, I mean, it's not... It's, you know, it's like a sheet of vinyl. It's like a sheet of paper.
Oh, okay, all right. That's workable, then.
Yeah, our business stickers that we had made, those were like the bumper sticker vinyl, but on a custom, it's so tiny, you can barely tell that it's a sticker, or you can tell it's a sticker, but it's fine.
Okay, so that's all I was saying. So, John, what are you working on?
I'm finishing up my blind pull figure. I'm just waiting for a little bit of paint to dry, and tomorrow I'll take some pictures of them.
Wait, before you go any further on your other things, when are those blind pull figures due?
July something other.
Nice.
Let's see. June 24th is the NJC number 72 deadline for Cowboys and Indians. And I've seen somebody's who likes Cowboys very much. He submitted some and, well, I've already lost. Let me put it that way. And then July, pulling up the site calendar right now in the wiki. And then July 14th is the blind pull challenge entries deadline.
Perfect. All right. What else are you working on?
Let's see. Well, I just want to say this about my blind pull. The parts kind of spoke to me as soon as I got them. I knew it was going to be a Dreadnought character just because, well, it fit. And then I kept playing around with the colors and ultimately went with a very basic color scheme, you know, something that's very realistic for a biker gang. And so I decided to make the character a little off. And so the accessories and some other stuff, you'll definitely know when you see it. You're like, you won't expect it. Let me put it that way. And besides that, I've got my Wounded Warrior figure finally put together, 2 years late, but finally getting that going. And that's it. All right. Did you guys have any? No. I know I'm awesome. I've wowed you. I understand.
All right, that's all. Yeah. I don't have anything else.
It feels like there should be more, but we've kind of...
Petered out a little bit there.
Yeah. Next week, we'll try to get some topics in there to keep it lively. I'm fine with doing a short one this week.
You guys did your 5-hour marathon last time.
Yeah.
That was tough. So...
All right. See you guys. All right. See you guys next time.
See you next time. Good night.
Bye, gentlemen.
Take it easy. Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
You guys did all that in the last 5 minutes?
We're quick and efficient.